that society, that the culture has in general, for people who are practicing meditation and who are devoting themselves to the spiritual life. You know, as many of you know who have been there, in many Buddhist countries there are thousands of temples and monks and nuns practicing, and they're all supported by the lay people. And when we go as lay people to practice at the meditation centers, it's all offered freely. And so there's just this amazing quality of generosity. It's so beautiful to see it. One of the monasteries that I stayed at, it was quite large. There were several hundred monks and nuns and laymen and women. And we would all go into the dining room, big, big dining room for meals. And very often, either large families or whole villages would have come to prepare the meals, you know, to offer the food for that day. And just the custom was, and they would have it all prepared, and we would sit down and, at the tables, and they would just be sitting on the side of the room, kind of watching us eat, basically. But it was with the sense of just this great delight. They were taking such joy in the fact that they could make the offering, which of course inspired all of us, you know, in our own practice. Here we were receiving, you know, so much from these people who often had very little. And so the whole spirit of dana, of generosity, is so integrated into the fabric of those cultures. It was very interesting coming back to the West and, you know, the transmission of the Dharma to the West, and trying to figure out how to bring this quality, this particular quality of dana, to our Western capitalistic pay for what you get culture. And in different scenes and in different countries in the West, you know, we've done it in different ways, in different combinations, but always holding to the idea that the teachings themselves are priceless, as you know. And there's no way to put a price on the Dharma. And so, for the most part, in almost all the Dharma centers, the teachings themselves are offered freely, not for payment. Some centers charge for just the food and the lodging, the things that it takes to run the center. Some, as I understand from Tobin, I'm not that familiar with how things are done here, but my understanding is that even here, even the cost of the facilities are on a dana basis. So that's remarkable. I mean, I think that's a tremendously beautiful way, you know, of bringing the teachings here. It's also a very big responsibility. You know, it's like all of us, all of you, are carrying the responsibility for ensuring that the Dharma will be available for those who come after us. There's just so many aspects of this to talk about. The quality of generosity in and of itself, you know, and just paying attention to what that feels like and the purification of the heart that happens through generosity. Often the Buddha would begin his teachings just talking about dana, because it's so uplifting. You know, and then he'd get to the hard stuff. But he would start with, he would really start with lightening people's hearts. Because when we're practicing that, it always feels good. You know, it's the feeling of letting go, it's the feeling of renunciation, it's the feeling of love, it's the feeling of compassion. There's so many beautiful qualities come together, you know, in times of giving. One particular practice which I've done in this regard, and I think I've mentioned it, I can't remember if it was to the staff or to some of you, but one practice that I've really tried to make part of my life as a way of practicing this quality, you know, and making it a bigger and stronger part of my life, is that whenever I have the thought to give something, I try to act on it instead of, oh yeah, that was a good idea, but maybe not, you know, or maybe it's too much or whatever, second guessing myself. It was a thought. No, if I have that initial thought, you know, that initial moment of purity in the mind, I try to make it the practice to act on it. And it's been interesting for me because sometimes it's very small things. A few times it's been really big things. And I have never, ever regretted it. Whenever I think of these acts, it always brings me happiness. And so it's just, it's a great practice. It's much easier than mindfulness. You know, it's just, oh yeah, you're giving, you feel good giving, and the other people feels good giving, and it's just, it's really just a practice of happiness. Yeah, and so again, I'm not familiar really with the organization here and how it's run, except to know from our centers in the States, it takes resources. Unfortunately, our cultures at large are not supporting meditation centers, are not supporting yogis in their practice. And so as a Sangha, we have to do it with each other. You know, most of the teachers don't have outside sources of income. Some do, most don't. And so those who are devoting themselves to sharing the Dharma, the teaching, need support just to live as lay people in the world, as we all do. So that's an important part, supporting the organization. I don't know exactly what the needs are of the organization, but I'm sure they're there, you know? And so it just takes becoming conscious of that, taking delight in the generosity that makes it all possible. And really keeping in mind that in a group like this, you know, there are some people who may have very little and who are able to come because it is on a Dana basis. And there may be some of you who have more resources. You know, karma has led you to have a fair amount. It's an opportunity to really be of service and help to those who have less. So it's just to consider all this. You know, when you think about the possibility of offering support in various ways at the end of a retreat. I think that's all. It's just to say that it's a really beautiful thing, and I so appreciate how you do it here. You know, it's a real expression of the purity of the Dharma.
Yeah, I just want to say a few supporting words to follow Joseph on this, that firstly, it is the whole process of giving and receiving, of dana as giving and receiving, puts us in another territory, which is so much part of the practice. And I think that's the reason why also the Buddha started teaching generosity as the first teaching, because giving and receiving puts us in another place rather than this calculation in the mind that says I want and I need and I have to get and how much will I get. So it's really another place, and that's the experiment that Tovana has been on the last few years, and it's a revolution. It's incredible the way what's happened in Tovana because of it. But I do want to say, I mean, really the only point I want to say is just one thing. It isn't easy, and that you should know that. And one of the things that we may have internal inside thoughts about dana, but I would invite you to have outside thoughts. Actually, it reminds me of the Satipatthana Sutta that says internally and externally. That means everything that's happening inside has a reflection outside. And outside, it needs you to pay attention that things are not so easy and that it's real help that's needed for this experiment, which is amazing, to continue. And it can hurt a little bit. It may not be all pleasure, and that's okay. That, you know, it's a bit like dana. The way I see dana is mother's milk. And I said this before, the image I have is mother's milk. It's a beautiful thing to give mother's milk, but the child does need the milk. It's not just existential. The child needs to be properly fed. So it's up to you, really. It's not up to me, it's up to each one of you to make sure that the child has enough milk to grow and to survive and to keep going like this. So I'd invite you really to think about it on that side as well, to take care of all of us. I mean, it's you, each one of you, that is Tovana. It's not that Tovana is there somewhere and is providing something. It is a community, Tovana. And each one of you in the retreat is joining the community, and many of you here are helping Tovana as well in practical ways, but it's yours. And it needs to be looked after. We don't have patrons, we don't have shortcuts, we don't, you know. So please just pay attention to all of that. It's not one thing, it's a kind of a collection of thoughts and ideas and feelings, which include the sense of holding properly and giving mother's milk so that the child grows nutrition. There's a nutritional model of what we're doing. Just a small point, we've had endless discussions in the Vadmanahel of Tovana. How many times I've traveled down from Klil to Tel Aviv to the Vad Manahel meeting in order to discuss just this point, which is, should we tell you how much a retreat like this costs, or should we not? Because if we tell, it's putting pressure. And there is the internal, right? Not to put pressure. And if we don't tell, then many of you just simply might have a lot of concepts of what a retreat like this needs for it to survive too. And so that's the external. So we decided, good committee fashion, to go half-half. And there is a piece of paper in a file in the room there, which tells exactly how much per person this retreat costs, in terms of the cost of it. The food, the accommodation, the sleeping, we have to pay the kibbutz, the costs of running the organization, divided into the number of people that sit retreats in the year. So all of that is there. So in some way, I would encourage you, without telling the Vadna Mahel, I'm joking, but just to be aware of all of this, put it in your mind, and then in some ways drop it and just feel that you're there in the flow of giving and receiving, which will be in silence.